Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. How about you?
Good. As we said, now we move to the land of ultimate big numbers, and that's Washington, D.C. Hey, I want to start, first of all, just kind of give me your overview, because I know it's been a tremendous few weeks since you were here in the studio, but just kind of recap your thoughts on the last week since you've been a member of Congress.
Well, it's been a pretty stimulating experience is about the best way to put it. On one hand, I see a lot of things that show how great this country is when you look at when you're sitting in the same seats that some of my predecessors have that made a difference for the country. On the other hand, there are some things that are pretty bad, and one of those is the budget. Our federal fiscal situation is just about as close to a disaster as you can get.
You know, you'd said that when you were in the studio with me. You said, really after the interview, you said, boy, I just had no idea. And I think those chickens are kind of coming home to roost here in Austin as the preliminary budget for the state has been released and some of the cuts that are really severe. Now, obviously, before the last biennium of the Austin in Austin, they were able to get some relief from D.C., but that's not going to be in the cards in your view, is it?
That's correct. The states are going to have to take care of their own problems, and because there's just not enough money in the federal government to take care of the state's problems. The other issue is just an issue of fairness. I mean, on one hand, you look at Texas, and even though it's got some budget struggles, it relatively speaking, it's better off than most states. But then you have other states that have just have not had any fiscal responsibility at all, like California. And so, to me, it's not fair to the Texas taxpayers to take their money to bail out a state that squandered it like a school child.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Obviously, the one vote, the big vote that made news yesterday, 245-189, the vote in the Republican-controlled House to repeal the Obama administration health care package. I'm presuming you voted to repeal it.
Absolutely, I did, and it was one of my earliest votes, and I was glad that it had to do with repealing this job-destroying piece of legislation.
Okay, I think we all know that even if it goes to the Senate, even if it goes to the White House, it this ends up maybe being a ceremonial or positional type vote. But behind that, what else is the drive for the Republican leadership to try to do something to this health care plan?
Well, I'm not going to say that it's not going to pass the Senate. I mean, there are 23 senators that are looking over that are Democrats that are looking over their shoulder at what happened on November the 2nd of last year. And we could find some support in the Senate, possibly. On the other hand, I do know that it will not be signed by the repeal will not be signed by the president, nor are we likely to override a presidential veto. But that said, there are other tools in our quiver, and those include defunding it, pulling out the mandated coverage provisions or the individual mandate provisions. It doesn't take much to basically neuter the bill by just removing one or two key provisions or defunding those provisions.
And I'm guessing also that there'll be some sort of look within the judicial branch of government that may end up crippling it in some way. But as more and more people end up seeing what benefits, first thing I think of, obviously, is pre-existing condition, people being able to stay on their parents' insurance until 26, that becomes more and more attractive to more and more Americans. Does that make it a race against time as far as you're concerned?
Well, those provisions can be replaced, and it's the Republican plan to replace those good provisions to include those good provisions into a replacement plan. And we can do that without spending $2.6 trillion of precious taxpayer resources and increasing the size of the deficit and basically destroying the private health care system as we know it today.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us. Last weekend, the Republicans had their first, I guess, chance to all get together as a group up in Baltimore. Kind of give me your thoughts of what happened there.
Well, it was a great experience to be able to get away from the Capitol Hill campus, to be able to go to a more relaxed setting, and to have speakers like George Will and Arthur Laffer folks like that come visit with us and tell us their perspectives on what happened in 94 and how not to repeat the same mistakes that the 94 class did when the Republicans took control of Congress at that point in time. It also gave us a chance to have a down-in-the-weeds discussion about the budget situation, about health care, and and not only the repeal of health care, but what the replacement's going to be. So those key issues, we were able to visit about those. It also gave us a chance to get to know each other and give our spouses a chance to know each other better as well.
Hey, you've got your first State of the Union coming up next week. That's going to be once again, I guess, a head spinning experience.
It will be, and I'll try to be careful not to shout anything out.
Now, do you have an assigned seat? How does that work?
Well, from what I understand, it's first come, first served. And I was visiting with a very seasoned legislator from Texas, Representative Sam Johnson, and he said it's just you get here as soon as you can and you stake out your seat. I don't know that I'm going to show up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to get a seat for something that happens at 9 o'clock in the evening. But I'll try to get there early enough to get a seat, period.
Okay, I guess I've never talked to a freshman member of Congress. Now, obviously, you're a very successful businessman, captain of industry and all, before you became an elected member. But tell me that first moment that you had, and who was it when you went, oh, my gosh, there's fill in the blank?
Well, there have been several instances like that. I guess the most interesting one for me, since I'm a budget hawk, is Paul Ryan,
uh-huh.
who is chair of the Budget Committee. Now, most people would say somebody else, but Paul Ryan, I think, is a more or less a rock star here in Washington when it comes to budget issues and his understanding of the federal budget. So that to me was an interesting experience. But my real aha moment was the first Sunday of orientation week, freshman orientation week, when we were having dinner in Statuary Hall, and you look around the edges of that room and you look at the statues of some of the people who were of key significance in the country, and to think that the first House of Representatives met in the early Houses of Representatives met in Statuary Hall, and you think about the history that took place there, that will take your breath away and puts a big burden on your shoulders as to what the people expect from you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're looking forward to the weekly visits with you. And if folks want to get in contact with you, Bill, how do they do that?
Well, there are two ways. First of all, our phone number here in D.C. is 202-225-6105. Again, that's 202-225-6105. And our website is a great place where you can provide feedback, and that's florist.house.gov, florist.house.gov. And there's a feedback form on there, and we got hundreds of emails and calls about the health care repeal, and they were running 5-1 in favor of the repeal, so we voted the way our constituents wanted us to. So again, those numbers are 202-225-6105, and the website's florist.house.gov.
Congressman Bill Flores will join us just about every week when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived at our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time, Bill.
Thanks, Scott. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you. See you. Bye.